Blog Talk Radio.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10,
glistening once again
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots at the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Now there's a tree in the Grand Hotel,
one in the park as well,
the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start,
and the thing that will make them ring
is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots
is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk
is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And the Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and we are live. Joining me this evening is my lovely co-host, Sophia Johnson. Hello, Miss Sophia. How are you?
I am doing so swell, and I tell you, that song just broke my heart because things beginning to look a lot like Christmas isn't as jolly as it used to be.
You know what? You're absolutely right. But this time of year, I play Christmas music for a purpose, and that is to check off the SJWs, the liberals that want to erase. They want to erase all our fun. You know, they want to, first and foremost, they want to erase God. And
yeah,
that's just not going to happen if I have anything to say about it. And people that know me personally know I have a lot to say.
Well, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it because it gave me a moment to reflect on the innocence of Christmas and the way that, you know, when happiness felt like. And I, you know, they really don't play these old classic ones on the radio anymore. Like, you hear them when you go to the mall occasionally. You know, I'd be happy if I could make it through Christmas without hearing the Beatles like that, or Paul McCartney like that. Should be having a wonderful Christmas time. That is like the worst for me. But I love these classics. Last week, Baby It's Cold Outside. This week, this one. So keep them coming, please. It does bring me joy at the same time, sorrow, but joy again.
I kind of wear out Baby It's Cold Outside because I just love that song. And,
isn't it charming?
It is, but you know it's a date rape song.
I know. You know what I'm saying? Good grief. You know, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Oh, no, that one's okay.
You know?
That that song is fine, okay? Or, you know, you have those Cardi B nasty songs. And
oh,
I just,
my goodness. Yeah, that it's such a strange whoa, you know what? Look how that led right into why we're here today.
You know what? Stop reading my mind.
We did it. It happened naturally as usual.
I was just going to say something similar to that. But you know, it's true. It's true. You know, these art, I don't want to even call them artists because they're not artists. They're just nasty, evil people that are pushing this agenda and, you know, get them hooked, get the people hooked. And yep. It is so, so sad. I tell you, if my children are all adults now, so they can make up their own minds, but I know for a fact none of them listen to that, the crap that's out there.
Oh, yeah, my children don't listen to it either. They know it, but they don't play it. It's not uplifting, and it's definitely, we saw a video when you brought up Cardi B not too long ago, where she was listening to one of her tracks, and when her daughter walked in the room, she quickly turned it off, and I just screamed at my phone like she can hear me, because I go on a bus or go around, and I see people with their children listening to her music, but it's good enough for us to listen to, but not her own kid. It's like, okay, you're going to put it out there to corrupt everyone else and have the wherewithal to shield your own, so.
Oh, for
yeah.
Sure. And it is ridiculous for the longest time. Well, I don't, when I drive, I don't listen to the radio. And if I do, I'll have, what are those things called? Cassettes?
Yeah.
I'll flip in a cassette and I'd be loving. Some of, oh my gosh, why do I not, her name just slipped my mind. I'll be walking after midnight. Out
oh
in
my
the moonlight.
Goodness, what is her name? It's not Connie Francis.
Patsy Cline. Patsy Cline.
Oh yes, Patsy Cline, yes! Oh my gosh, I said Connie Francis. Another badass of her time, but not the right one.
Yes, I just cannot get enough of her, and yes, I just love Patsy. So
yes,
tonight's show is the title of it is Rules for Thee, meaning, you know, it all comes down to the double standards, especially, you know, we had the pandemic. And there was, we were just bombarded with government shenanigans against us. And, you know, we have Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done and getting a blowout without a mask. And that's okay for her, but all our salons and stuff were closed.
Yeah.
You know, social distancing. In fact, I have a friend who owns her own salon, and she actually took out chairs from her salon for social distancing. And it's like, are you crazy, girl? Are you crazy? And
losing our assets over it.
But I do know a lot of shop owners that did keep their doors open also, and would not comply. You know, I reside in California, aka California. And, you know, these people would not comply, and nothing ever happened. No lawsuits. They were threatened, but that's about it. Nothing ever came of it because you know, what can they do? Again, they can't sue all of us. They can't take us all to court. They can't arrest all of us. And I was speaking to somebody today, and I bank with a very small conservative bank, and I went into the bank all the time without a mask. They did
really?
Not one person in that bank approached me and tried to hand me a mask.
And look, I'm speaking to a live person and not a ghost. Despite it all.
I went into the grocery store without a mask. I even went to Kohl's without a mask.
It's the 2020, like you just got me thinking. And I remember with, you know, we spoke earlier today, you and I, and just thinking about the fact that, you know, this is a very old, you know, idiom. It's one that goes way back, but I can't remember it having so much relevance and being, you know, repeated by common people more often than we've had before. Like it is 2020. The biggest one for me was Black Lives Matter. And it was, well, you know, all lives matter. And it was like, no. We're not going to talk about the all lives. We're going to talk about the black ones. Okay, we'll talk about you later. And then, you know, the blue lives matter. And it was like, oh, no, see, no, hell no. The blue lives matter, like, really? It really did. When you say the pandemic, it wasn't just that one level. It was the tyranny running, you know, and smacking us dead in our faces with all of it. That's just how I saw it.
Well, it was designed to be worldwide just, you know, because they do want to reduce the population. And they wanted to, I believe it was one big, huge beta test to see who would comply. And the good little sheep,
right,
the brown shirts, they did comply. And
right,
it was very, very sad that people would. I did not comply. I was in-home caregiver for the elderly. That was the only time that I wore a mask, and it was one of the breathable masks. It just had crystals on it, and it was sheer material, so you could breathe right through it. And the only time I put that on my face was to take my client to the doctor. That was it.
Almost as if they forgot that they told us that the mask didn't work. It's almost as if you could, you know, buy a box of masks and read on it, and it didn't say, you know, this is not protect against COVID-19. Like it was, it wasn't just a thing where they had us, you know, where we had to comply. We had to subscribe and comply. So if you subscribe to it, you can sit there and read a box where it says, this isn't going to protect you from COVID, and be like, okay, I'm going to wear this anyway.
Well, because it is so asinine, because you're right. It did have a disclaimer on the box that it does not work. And a lot of people don't realize that those masks are surgical masks, okay?
Right.
They are designed so blood splatter does not go into the surgeon's mouth.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And when they wear goggles, same principle. And people just...
Your skin is still exposed.
Exactly. Hello.
They told you couldn't touch your nose. If you touch your nose, you got to use hand sanitizer.
The best one that I think I saw, it happened twice, two different vehicles. I mean, one was a really cool car. I don't know what kind it was, and it was a convertible. The second one was a convertible Mustang, and both of them had their tops down, and they were wearing masks.
Oh my goodness!
Now, that,
you know what? I'll be honest with you. In the beginning, that was me. In the beginning, you know, the comorbidities and the threat that it was to my life with my doctor. He was like, "Well, Sophia, you know, you're a little overweight. You have the diabetes. You have the high blood pressure. It's like, you know, that's where you are. You're right there where you can, you know, be hurt." So I was actually, well, if someone else is driving and they cough out their window, and my husband's like, "Dear, how many particles did you reach you?" And I was like, "It only takes one." But I got COVID anyway. Yeah. I got COVID anyway, and I'm here, and I'm alive, and I swear to you, when I think about the way that I could only think that they were probably having parties where they were just watching us, you know, just do as we're told while they didn't do and exercise the same judgment. Like, it just bothers me that small businesses, you know, had to close down where Walmart and McDonald's was open. Like, I don't understand how the rules didn't apply for everyone and people just subscribe to it.
But people know this when, and I'll use the parasitic globalist Gavin Newsom as an example. Okay, he can mandate until the cows come home. A mandate is not, I repeat, a mandate is not a law.
Right.
Enough said. He can't, none of these governors can willy-nilly just mandate this and mandate that. No, there's a process that you have to go through, which is a very lengthy process. So when Gavin Newsom, I just scoffed at him. What a jerk. And
yes.
Him, of all people, you know, here he is going to the French Laundry with the other globalists having dinner. Nobody's wearing masks, proof of it. And he just continues to eat all the way till dessert. And then, my bad. I'm sorry. Then he's with, I believe it was Magic Johnson at some type of a game. And again, neither one of them are wearing a mask. And if,
yeah.
I apologize. Yeah. I'm sorry. And that's cool. People, you really, why do we put up with this? Do you ever feel like we're in the Truman Show?
I think I said to you earlier at one point this week that we're in Dark City. It's like we're in assimilation.
Oh yeah,
definitely. It's surreal because if you actually paid attention to history, you can see that we are not the Americans that, you know, founded America. Like, it's very difficult to see how we're in that let them have cake, let them eat cake phase where the aristocrats and all the, you know, bureaucrats are living and doing things one way and will throw what they think would make things work for us at us, and it's not the same that applies to them. Like, when I think about that whole time and what COVID started, It was the same thing layered on top of layered, and they started to call it whataboutism. I don't know if you've ever encountered that, where you would show them the hypocrisy and they would be like, "Let's not get into whataboutism. It's not about saying what about this person and that. We're focusing on this right now." And it was like, no, we need to just recognize what hypocrisy is. It's like the word went in one ear and went out and went right out the other, because whataboutism is something that they viewed as a hypocritical way of bringing it up, that there was one way for a different set of people and another way for another set of people, and they actually rolled it all out to hit us in many different ways, and we're still seeing the evidence of that right now. Like, just like I said today, like, I think about the fact that everything that they said that Donald Trump was going to do, everything, Joe Biden is doing it, and it's like, hello, when are you guys going to say that that's not how we want things to work? We're going to impeach him. You know, it's just not, they're not aware of it. So they don't care. One of the two.
Because they are so dismissive of us. And okay, again, rules for thee, not for me. And, you know, they want to, this is all planned. You know, this is all part of, Agenda 21-2030. And it is, you know, they ultimately want us to be the remainder of us. They want us to be worker bees. And that's the only, you know, they're going to keep us around as long as that, so that they can use us to the best of their ability. You know, you have Ilhan, Rojo, Omar, and look at her. I mean, what a traitor. And Rashida Tlaib. And again, you know, we the people are crying out loud. None of our Congress people or senators are listening to us. And we the people have to remember that. When I say we the people, the majority of the time I mean we the people of the world, because this is not only happening to the United States, it's happening around the world. And but you have these parasites that think that they can dictate it to us, you know, whatever they want to, and we the people, thus far, we're failing.
Yeah,
we have allowed this to happen for such a long time that they truly believe that we work for them instead of the other way around.
But I think that even though, you know, we're not doing a great job of maintaining things the way that our forefathers, you know, perceived that it would go, we're making it difficult. We're definitely, for those of us that aren't rolling over and just allowing it, they're trying to figure out different ways to turn us against each other, because that's where it all starts.
I remember when BLM met Bureau of Land Management. And then some people got the bright idea, George Soros, to hijack Bureau of Land Management and turn it into Black Lives Matter. Well, I in turn would use BLM as Babies Lives Matter.
Oh, true. Look at that. But just simply turning it into All Lives Matter was a huge deal. It was one of those things where it wasn't, I really thought that I could reason with people that only saw things their way, especially when it comes to Black Lives Matter. Like, it was, how do you go from, and then mind you, Black Lives Matter ended up turning into Trans Lives Matter. But still, we haven't circled back to All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. Like, it just remained what they want it to be. You know what I mean? And they'll just keep on, you know, dragging it into whatever space that they need it into. And as long as we keep saying, you know, that's just, that it goes both ways. It goes both ways is probably one of the arguments that'll just inundate you with ignorance, to say that, you know, you can't look at it from your perspective, because they think that that's all that there is their way of thinking. And if you don't think like them, then there's something wrong with you. If you don't believe and think that things should go the way that they do it, then it's so I don't even know what to define it as. If that's a, you know, that's like it reeks not even of communism. It's just so dystopian. It's like it's, you're not thinking for yourselves, and then they tell us that we're not thinking for ourselves. Like, I can't figure out the who shot John in this whole equation. Like, it just keeps going around and around. It's because we're essentially, they're saying that we're the ones that saying that, you know, it's good for us, but it's not good for you. You get what I mean? Like, I don't see when or how they managed to flip that, but now we're stuck in a perpetual, you know, a perpetual argument of who's right. And I know, you know, within my heart that, you know, my heart isn't just based on my own understanding. I'm like, well, God seems to really lead things. And then you bring up God, and it's like the atheist will tell you that there is no God, and they're just as, you know, vigilant with telling us that there is no God about their faith that there is no God. You get what I mean? Like, it's so weird that we can't sit here and throw a Bible at you and tell you everything that we know verbally without you telling us that none of it's real. You get what I mean? Like, I just don't get that frame of mind that has taken over and been the primary voice.
Well, it's because, well, for one thing, we have indoctrination centers, a.k.a. schools, that are teaching our children a lot of this stuff. You have, okay, of course, the radio, music. You have television mm-hmm. shows. You have mm-hmm. The Franken foods we eat. They're not, yeah. It's not even real. You go to McDonald's, that's not real food, people. That's not real
food. That's why you end up starving when you eat it.
And yeah, exactly. And that's how come they just, everything is by design. Just like, you know, McDonald's. Yes, I'd like to supersize that for an extra 25 cents, and I'd like a small Diet Coke. Okay, really?
Wow. Yep, absolutely.
It's true. And people just don't get it. And since I brought up Diet Coke, by the way, people, if you think that you're going to lose weight by drinking diet soda, you're not, okay?
Nope.
It actually is designed to make you crave the foods that you are not supposed to be eating when you are dieting. Plus, if it does, right. If it has aspartame in it, aspartame causes cancer, and it eats away at your brain. I'm so thankful to God that I'm allergic to artificial sweeteners. And
nice.
But it is crazy. Plus, you have, you know, the Satanist, Aleister Crowley, and, you know, he has, his mentality was backwards speak, and they're using that today in just about everything. Love is hate, hate is love, up is right. down is up, and it's very common in today's society.
Absolutely. And I'm just trying to still navigate throughout it. And because now you have people that are like, you know, I'd love to bring up, you know, the Lex Luthor, Elon Musk.
Uh-huh.
I'm always bringing him up because his thing is now, I tell you, it's like we sit there and we look at the different ways that things are being communicated now. And his thing is chastising the advertisers that don't want to advertise on X, where you had a very popular ex-influencer, Laura Loomer, who when she wasn't getting monetized, she felt that it was ludicrous for the amount that she was getting. Elon said to her, well, you know, I can't get people to advertise on you. And the whole of Twitter, you know, his following laughed at her. And I'm like, you know, do people so easily forget when people like him, you know, throw those rules out there, you know, and then they snatch him back. Like you have where they say different things and they just act a certain way and then they don't stick to it when it comes to us. It's like, exactly, it's not for you. this isn't for you. And you think about people that have that frame of thinking, that isn't liberty. You get me? That is total, you know, totalitarian, like totalitarian, authoritative way of thinking. And just imagine that's here. That's America's reality. That's where we are, where you can actually have the narratives just pigeonholed by a elite group of people that will do it from both ends. You know, right now, you know, Elon is one that everyone is trusting so well. But at the end of the day, you know, there are people that, you know, can say something that's not so awful, it be lawful, and then get deplatformed, and then someone say something exactly the same, and then they're getting celebrated for it. And when you, you know, someone could get shut down. Larger accounts could get shut down, and then 50 people email support, and their account is back up, but then another person will get shut down, and those larger accounts aren't advocating on their behalf. It's just, we just ran and sprinted toward such a selfish, myopic way of perceiving our fellow, our relationships, our interpersonal relationships with people. And when you say that to, like, well, you and I can speak about it until, you know, the sun comes up. And it's a marvelous thing to recognize. But if we try to bring that across the aisle, like you said, it's about all of us. It just doesn't
Sophia,
read with them. And you have to try to figure out. Uh-huh.
Sophia, you're every once in a while, and it may be because you're turning your head, we're
yes.
losing audio on you. And it's only for a couple
okay.
of seconds. But resume Fox position.
Well, then I think I'm done ranting. It's like it is one of those things.
But no, you're absolutely right. And again, it's all by design. Just like you know, when those whistleblowers came out and exposed Facebook for what it was. You know, we
yeah.
designed.
Yep.
They helped design Facebook, and we designed, you know, these emojis or the like buttons and
yep.
stuff like that. And it was for to release endorphins in one person. And it worked. I know many of people
yeah.
that, you know, I posted this on my Facebook and nobody liked it. You know, seriously, you are going to get butt hurt over something so trivial, and they would actually get upset about it, and it, much to my disbelief, because, you know, I don't get all bajiggity over that, and you know, and just like oh my goodness, those games that you play, like Candy Crush and remember Farmville,
yeah.
and
Farmville.
Again, those were designed to for your so that view your and keep track of your intelligence.
Yeah,
that's what those were
yeah.
designed for. And I remember going over to somebody's house, and there was six adults in the room. Well, five of us, not me, were playing Candy Crush. And it was like, oh my gosh, people, put down your freaking phones. I didn't drive 500 miles to watch you sit on your phone
wow.
and play a stupid game. And
yep.
it so many things. There is an excellent video. It's on YouTube. And it is called Look Up. As simple as that. Look
Up. Oh, yes. I remember that. It was, they actually did a horror flick and did something else with that. So I don't know if it's called
oh.
Don't Look Up or if it's still called Look Up, but I saw the one on YouTube. It was amazing.
Yes. But it is so true. And basically, you know, we're so fixated on our electronic devices, cell phones, and computers, that life is just passing us by. We have no time to enjoy life whatsoever. And it is, and again, all by design, people. But this is so crazy, you know. But Sophia, I totally, completely concur with you about, you know, these people that don't stand up for or back these other people that are getting deleted, erased, or put on restriction from social media platforms.
Yep.
You know, it is so sad, because I'll fight the battle with the best of them. And if somebody attacks somebody that I've been following for quite a while, you know, I'll fight for them. Because it's so utterly sad that that you have people with such big egos that they don't have time for anybody else except for getting those likes or sharing their whatever they post. And it's crazy.
Oh yeah, it's enough to make me sick. You know, it's enough to get under my skin enough, because I sit there and, for instance, I looked at, I wonder how it's possible, but I looked at, you know, I you know, everyone that could, you know, that's listening, forgive me for bringing her name up, but I have to. Candace Owens has millions of followers, and she only has maybe 50 that she follows back. And to be the person that she wanted to be and be, you know, a paragon of, you know, leading people out of something, she doesn't go back. She doesn't, you know, look back and follow other people and support them. You know, it's only her word that's good.
Okay.
It's only the news coming from her.
Okay. I can understand that to a certain degree, because you know, a person, and I don't live her life, but let's say I am Candace Owens, and I don't have time to follow a lot of people, because my news feed gets so bombarded. You know, I want to hear from the people that I follow and or care about. Mind you, okay, I'm putting myself in Candace Owens' position. And so I kind of understand that. When I used to do Facebook all the time, people would say, Eva, did you see what I posted? And these are like relatives and close friends. And it's like, no, okay, because when I go on Facebook, I was on a mission, you know, to promote my shows and to share information I felt that was necessary for other people to read. And, so it, you know, people would like, I can't believe that you didn't see what I posted. And it's like, I don't have the time. Okay. I'm on a limited schedule, okay, because here I work friggin' 8 hours for one thing, and that was 6 days a week I worked, and one day I would like, that would be my R&R day, and so I didn't have time, and I also limited myself to social networks because I didn't want to be that person, because I wanted to look up, and I would look up. So,
but it goes a little bit. I'm just interjecting because it goes a little bit deeper with her, meaning she has a whole organization that she started, where it's supposed to, you know, help within. It's Blexit, where the Blexit organization, you know, they're no longer under her umbrella now. It's back to or with Charlie Kirk. And there are people that she doesn't even bother to share that part of her. But if there's going to be a Blexit thing, they throw Candace's name on it. If there are communications that are coming out, that's coming out of Blexit, her name is on it. But she's not looking backward to lift up the people that are within her circle, her personal circle, meaning millions of followers. I can understand that. I would argue that she can get a publicist that would be able to manage her accounts for her, because if it's something that's petty, like a fight or an argument, or someone says something negative about her, she can quickly hop on to, you know, to attack that and address that issue. But there's rarely a point where you see kindness, or if there's just something that gives back, like it's just the platform that she has where it's about what she thinks and the ideas that she has, and then the people that agree with her, it's good enough for her to lift that element up and celebrate it. But then the people that follow her, and this is social media now, it's not like she, you know, she's not able to. Not with you,
right.
Like I can imagine. Like I'm 10'6", and you know, if you have a job and you have kids and you have everything else, but she has the money to at least be able to get a publicist, and if not that, the people in Blexit. She doesn't share anything on her profile from Blexit, so the work that Blexit is doing doesn't get the recognition unless it's within Blexit. You get what I mean? So it's just that with her, when you talk about the, you know, the me, you know, for me but not for thee, we're seeing a lot of that within, you know, the conservative movement as well, where it's easier for a lot of people to say, you know, thank you so much for following me. You know, you mean so much to me that you're following me. And then a person, I'm seeing it, and a person will say, you know, could you give me a like or a follow? And then they don't answer. And then somebody with a larger name says, you know, I'm trying to grow for 30,000 people. Can you help me? And they're like, sure, I can help you. So I wonder how much, like, I think that if there's a separation within, you know, not just to say liberal and conservative, there's also a separation between and the nobodies or the elites that see everyone else as a nobody, but then still playing that role like everyone's a somebody in order for them to still eat at the end of the day. And that's what that is. It's like that whole notion is feeding people.
Right. And I do understand what you are saying. And that's come I used myself as an example in lieu of Candace Owens.
Oh, you're an exception to the rule,
like
though,
have
my dear. You're an exception.
Like I would have a billion followers. But
you
want
it's happening. The replacement theory.
It is.
Fake ones are going to leave,
you know,
and the real ones are coming.
Oh my gosh. You know, it is. I follow Candace Owens, okay? But I do not. I none of her stuff appears in my feed at all. At all.
Oh,
and
yeah. I don't even subscribe.
There's only a handful of people that I see that, you know, it's the same people, you know, over and over that are posting. And I'm not complaining at all, because I like these people. I like what they post. I share their posts.
Right.
And, you know, it's just that I can't get to everybody personally. And I do apologize.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's just me, people. So I do apologize, but I do appreciate all the people that I follow, and I appreciate the people that follow me. And because
yes,
there is a lot that needs to be said. That's how come this network, I want to continue to grow this network, and we have such a great team already, and it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing. And you know, it is and it's all by the grace of God. So
yes,
100%. Let's get back to the show, you know. And
yes.
especially these rules for these, you know, you have all these, gosh, I hate using so much of their terminology. I will not call them the elite. I prefer political parasites. And
I can get with really, that.
That's just me, because they're the ones that name themselves. They self-proclaim that they are elite. They're not.
And yeah, I agree.
You do have people. Who was it? Oh my goodness gracious! His name was on the tip of my tongue. And, gosh, it's going to drive me crazy. Go ahead, Sophie, you talk while I
they lost their relevance so quickly. Well, you know me, like I sit and I was looking at something today, like, and I don't know if we could peel at least one layer off the onion, because I watched a video before the show, and it was the Netanyahu, and he was, and I'm not going in that other direction, I'm just saying that he was upset because he was saying and lamenting that the women's group, where are they and why aren't they supporting Israel, because the women are getting raped and things like that. But then on the other side, you have people that are saying that, you know, thousands and thousands of women and children, you know, are dying in Gaza, you know, because of Hamas not allowing for them to escape. He's not calling for the injustice for that to be addressed. And I know collateral damage is collateral damage, but for the people right now that are standing up, and, you know, their claim is not to support Hamas, but it's to support the people of Palestine. You say that, and it's really, they're saying the rise of anti-Semitism on college campuses, and I'm like, I don't need to see what the anti-Semitism is. I know what they're doing. They're saying, you know, free Palestine. But even to say that, why are they not allowed to say that when there's people that are allowed to say, you know, a free state of Israel? The moral high ground that creates a divide where you have to choose a side. I'm not going to choose a side. It's just not my war. I'm America first. That's, you know, America is going to choose on my behalf, and I have to vote accordingly with, you know, the based on my personal opinion. But the news used to allow it. I don't know the news used to allow it. It was always presented from both sides, but now it has a side that has a narrative that they would think would be the right narrative. So for me. And then when someone comes up and they're like, but, you know, this is happening over there, it's like, no. Nope. We're not going to focus on how this affects you. We're going to just focus on how it affects me.
It's, again, a form of division, because look at what happened with, us spoon-feeding billions, hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine. And people they expected us to choose a side. You know what? I'm not going to choose the side. I choose America. Okay?
Absolutely.
That is the side that I choose. I choose our flag. I don't choose to have other people from other countries suckling off the teat of we the people, taxpayers, and waving their flag from the country that they came from. I don't want to see that.
Right.
This is the United States of America. It is not any other country. And people, if you're going to pick a side, pick the side of the United States. Pick the side of we the people. We the people of the world. Don't put up with this BS, you know, open borders. They have these open borders for a specific reason. And
it's so funny with the open borders, too. When Trump had the children in cages, it was like, oh, my gosh, he's not doing the right thing. And Yeah, the same thing's happening right now, but the news doesn't think that it's important to talk about it.
Well, you have some numbnuts that is sawing the what fence is up, or wall, whatever you want to call it. It's a fence. Mm-hmm. And sawing that, and people are just crossing over into the United States. You have this person on the other side in their country who just like is basically walking these people through the opening of the wall. And and he looks at Border Patrol and shrugs his shoulders and just salutes them like nanner nanner nanner. And this is what we are getting, people. It makes me cry to see what has happened to the United States in this short period of time that Pedo Quid Pro Joe has been resident of the White House. It is so utterly sad. And people, you gotta friggin' wake up. You gotta wake up. You have to fight for this country. You have the right to fight to party, but where's your right to fight for your country?
Well, remember us fighting when conservatives fight. Well, when conservatives fight for the country, they call it tyranny. Well, like, we have a country to save, and it's like, no, not you. We have a country to save.
You know, it's so funny. And I use that term loosely, you know, because it isn't funny. It isn't funny seeing the demise of our United States. It isn't funny seeing families without homes, without a roof over their head, without food in their bellies. None of this is funny. This is factual. And our government, the government that we employ, okay, keep that in your pretty little heads, because they are our employees, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, our forefathers set us up pretty, okay? There's that little thing called the Constitution.
Yes,
the Constitution.
And our Constitution is getting, it's no more than toilet paper to these political parasites. It's been diminished
absolutely
to toilet paper. And
when you can have
so
Hillary
sad.
Clinton,
I do remember.
Well, I was going to say to Hillary Clinton, I was wondering if you recall when she cast her ballot, the electoral ballot, that she said that that the electoral college needs to be abolished, and then that was her comment, and I was like.
I was like, bitch. Or am I? it's because it does not suit their needs. And the parasite's name that I was thinking of is Eric Holder. And video that came out.
I didn't need that.
If I have to endure it, so are you, sister. Eric Holder in, 95 or 96, there's video of him. You can find it on YouTube. Just type in Eric Holder brainwash, and he's telling people, the news media, the entertainment people, that it is imperative for them to help brainwash we the people. And you have that. You have all these people, they're entertainers, okay? And, you know, Jennifer Aniston is not going to be your best friend, okay?
No, no.
So she's not your friend. You have Arnold Schwarzenegger. He is not your friend. None of these, they are paid to entertain us, period. They're like a three-ring circus. That's all they are. They are circus performers, and if we choose to go see a movie of theirs, then that's our choice. I mean, we live in the United States. I still believe in that. But, you know, I don't – I think the last – oh, I did see Sound of Freedom. And thank you again for – I was able to see it for free. But prior to that, I think the last movie that I went to go see in a movie theater was Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka. How old that movie is, I have no idea.
Oh, my
a boyfriend gosh, of mine.
No, you didn't. Were you like four when you went to see it? I'm going to give you some age on save a little of that age off of you, honey.
I was five, okay? And a boyfriend of mine and his children, we went to go see it, and I am the worst person. You don't take me to the movies, okay? Because I fall asleep all the time. And the boyfriend keeps elbowing me, wake up. And so that's how long it had been since I'd been in a movie theater.
Johnny Depp looks like a corpse of himself now. Like, it's like, girl, you done gave your...
No, he's nasty. Again, he is an actor. And also, who are actors are the news media, okay? The people that you see on TV, again, not your best friends. They'll never be your best friends. They are paid actors and actresses. Now, let me get back to Eric Holder. So you know, he is like, brainwash. We got to brainwash these people into believing this and believing that. And don't forget about Fast and Furious when Obama was in office and they tried to pull off Fast and Furious. And the gentleman, Brian was his first name. I forget what his last name was, but he was a border agent. And he was murdered over that.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Brian Terry. And just horrible, awful. But these people, again, actors, actresses, they won't hesitate to use a gun to promote a movie. You know, they're using weapons of all sorts in their movie, but they are expected to brainwash us into believing that the Second Amendment is horrible. Again.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
95.
It's for our protection.
Memories. Yeah.
Our
95. And mind you, they have armed security. They have Secret Service. They don't have – Secret Service is not going to use harsh language.
Right. Again, rules for thee. It is insanity to me that we put paid performers on a pedestal and we think that, you know, they can walk on water. Sorry. sorry, Jesus is the only one that can walk on water.
They think they can. They do. I agree.
You know, it is pure insanity. And then when the pandemic was going around, you know, it's like, we're all in this together. Well, they parked their yachts. So it reads
they
out.
They were all in it together until you said, take the mask off.
Exactly.
They were like, no.
But, you know, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know,
oh my
screw
God,
your
yeah.
freedom.
Yeah,
screw your freedom.
Mm.
So you come over, you come over to our country, and you want us to screw screw our freedom. It's just pure insanity.
Do you know he apologized? Just to digress for a moment, he said he was sorry. He's sorry.
Oh yeah. And The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, apologized for being in cahoots with Oprah Winfrey when it came to Hawaii.
You know,
these people, again, and who can truly support Dwayne Johnson? Oh, my gosh.
He's sexy.
Okay.
I love him. I love Dwayne. He's so sexy.
Yuck.
He's sexy.
So.
The smile.
Stop it.
His teeth are perfect.
I will hang
my
up
on you,
girl. My
husband thinks that his head is shaped like a bomb.
It's like okay, the doctor definitely used forceps on him. Oh my goodness. It is egg shaped to me. So you have Dwayne Johnson, and he's the guest of Saturday Night Live, and he does this skit of a child molesting robot. Okay.
During
that skit, he is promoting this robot that molests children.
Yep.
And also during the same Saturday Night Live, he verbalizes "Hail Satan." Now,
are you serious? I didn't hear about that.
Oh, it was the same episode, Saturday Night Live, and it was confirmed that yes, that was his voice, his real voice, saying that. And you have to really think if it's okay. Molestation is not a laughing matter, period.
No,
whether it be from Saturday Night Live or anything, it's not a laughing matter. And
well, hold on,
I found it.
Do you have Seth MacFarlane, the Family Guy? The pedophile on there, and he's been on that show since inception.
Oh yeah, people, you have to really know who you are following and who you are supporting. I mean, supporting verbally, supporting financially, because when you pay to go to the movies, you are supporting these people. But let me get back to the Saturday Night Live. So
right.
If somebody watches that and they snicker, don't hang out with me, man, because I will blast you in every which way that is possible. It is so utterly sad. And at any given time, Dwayne Johnson
he had the choice of doing that skit or not doing that skit. He had the choice of saying Hail Satan or not Hail Satan.
Yep.
That he chose, he opted to do both. So what, ask yourself, what kind of guy is he? What
I
kind
know.
Of guy is Dwayne Johnson? And Sophia is absolutely right. You have Guardians of the Galaxy. Gunn. James Gunn.
Yes,
and
James Gunn, yep.
He is, he also promotes, and it's probably still on Twitter someplace, you know, where he is promoting child molestation.
Yep.
And
yes, he did.
You people pay to go see Guardians of the Galaxy. You go to Disney movies. You know, it is beyond me. Disney movies, so many of them were so nasty. I mean, I got rid of all my Disney movies. I did. I even had.
I didn't raise my kids to watch Disney.
And that's a good thing. And, you know, it is, you know, The Little Mermaid actually has a penis on the cover of it. I've seen that cover. And there
now
is
I'm
no
gonna
hiding
have to go
it.
Look in.
There is no hiding it. You have The Lion King, where they're in the clouds, it spells out sex. You have in The Little Mermaid again, where she's getting married, and the preacher has an erection.
Yep, I saw that. So sickening.
It is very sickening. Very, very sickening. Disney is one of the worst, so corrupt as far as, you know, MK Ultra and stuff like that. So you really have to know who you are supporting. Because it is so sad. Let me shout out the phone number really quick, Sophia. There are any listeners that would like to, if there are any listeners that would like to chime into this show, the phone number is 319-527-6092. Again, 319-527-6092. And if you do want to chime in, please, when you call in, press 1. That will indicate to me that you want to speak, and I will bring you into the studio. So, again, 319-527-6092. And so we did have a caller that was in the studio, but they left us. Oh, no.
Oh, come back. I think that we went with the one-hour ramble. And we, you know, now is that time to call in and just give us a holler and let us know what's on your mind. So that's what we do. We're here to be able to engage. So I'm excited to see who's going to call us and share their perspectives. I would love to hear from anyone that's out there.
Don't beg, Sophia. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, 319-527-6092. But no, even if you want to just say hello, that is perfectly fine. But it is crazy, you know, rules for thee. We have it from every facet to, you know, it is you go, gosh. No, that's kind of reaching, but it's just so utterly sad to me that people
they don't see this. No. They don't see the double standard that that is created, and they apply it to our everyday lives. Our forefathers
yep.
have got to be like rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling
in those graves. And because, like I said, you know, they designed the Constitution to protect us against them. And we have
yep.
allowed it to be reduced to toilet paper. Come on, what are we going to do, people?
Yeah.
You know, these are things that, you know, food for thought. You're going to have to think of these things. And really, really, and then try and come up with solutions. Find like-minded people and form your own little colony.
Absolutely. I agree.
Because
that is
so, so imperative. I remember many, many years ago that it was HBO, and actually
mm-hmm.
the name of the show was The Colony. And
I did catch that one, but I knew of it.
And you can still find it on YouTube, but it's not like, you know, season one, episode one, blah, blah, blah. You have to like really search for all the episodes, and some have been deleted. But it's basically about the end times and where food is scarce. And so you had to form your own colonies. You know, they did have a lot of stuff on it you know, they made an engine that was it ran off of burning wood, and they built a shower. But these people had to work together, and you know, this is how I see it. We are all on, we excluding the people that
them.
Want to, yes, excluding them, you know, we're on the sinking ship together, and we have to work together, and we have to combat all these different elements that are hitting our ship. You know, rogue waves, the wind, a broken compass, all of this.
Yep.
And we have to work together, people. And if we don't work together, we aren't going to survive.
No.
And
nope, not at all.
First and foremost, you have to put your petty differences aside. No, stop this in-house fighting, period.
Yeah.
This is what we have been reduced to. You know, the separation. You know, Palestine or Israel. Choose a side. A side. The United States. Well, that wasn't in the questionnaire, but that's the side that I pick.
Yeah. Yep.
Too bad, so sad.
Yep. Absolutely.
And
I'll never waver from that. I will always sit on our side. And when I say our side, I truly mean, like, I like to look at our reality as a magnet. Positives are attracted to negatives. Negative is attracted to positive. You'll never have negative and negative. It's always the reverse. And positive is bonded with neutral. I think that if we can just look at that philosophically and say that, you know, you're not going to be able to get rid of negativity. It's just not going to happen, because if you get rid of negativity, the earth will become volatile. If you try to get rid of the positive and negative, you know, positive and the neutral, things are going to get volatile. And we want to all live in a perfect world, but we know
that if you just stay within your lane and just coexist, and I hate those bumpers. The coexist bumpers are like, you see people with some people with those coexist bumpers, and they want to run you off the road. And I'm like, I thought we were supposed to coexist. But when I you know, I'm like, what's going on? But I'm saying I agree with you 100% that we're not calling and asking for us to recognize how they're, you know, these political, you know, political pariahs. They're not quite pariahs, they're pariahs to us. But these people are just sitting there dividing us. And all that the patriots are saying is just pay attention to the fact that they're tearing America to shreds. But you're right, right. The indoctrination has them so far away from seeing America as something that should stand. And that's what breaks it, you know, breaks everything down for me. I just don't even, you know, I try to care. But I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to stick with who I can stick to. Say what I have to say, like you and I and everyone else out there that is sharing their voice. It is important to keep it going because someone's going to, you know, listen to you. But then at some point, the we has to be able to connect well enough to overthrow, you know, them. We have to, the V has to overthrow the we. You get what I mean?
I do get it. And duly noted. Let me interject, though, that people do have to realize that it's us. It's we the people. We the people have allowed this to happen. And because we have given, we've given our power to them, believe it or not. You know, just because I don't back Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, right. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or any of them. You know, I don't back, but I am one person with a very, very loud voice, and I will use that until I have no voice, till my head is rolling after being decapitated, you know, from the from being in the re-education camp. And,
you know?
Go ahead.
No, well, you had me laughing like that's becoming a proper thing because now you have me thinking about the fact that Holder said that back in 1995. And then didn't Hillary just say that recently that we need to, you know, deprogram?
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely Eric Holder did say that in the same video. And and it is, again, it's all part of the plan. If Eric Holder is saying this in 95-96, you know, it still applies today. You had Janet Napolitano, you know, her big thing was see something, say something, you know, encouraging everybody to snitch out on their neighbors. You have the red flag laws, again, encouraging people to snitch on their neighbors. You know, just as long as my neighbors don't impede upon my freedoms, my way of life, I have no problem. I have no problem. Smoke weed to your heart's content. I don't care. You are not affecting me in any way, shape, or form. Wait, by the way,
I say it's oh, that's so funny. I say I don't mind if you do, if you don't mind if I don't.
Yeah, and but this is coming from our political parasites. You know, that that want to rule the world. You have Hillary Clinton. Oh, gosh, man, oh, man. If ever a homely woman there was, Hillary Clinton is one. And her little dog, Chelsea, too. you know, I am so bad, and I do apologize because I am not... I am not the prettiest
pie cooling on the windowsill. But again, but you have Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was so talk about deplorable. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
She's not only the president. No,
yeah.
She is the president,
my gosh,
of deplorables. But it takes a village to raise a child. Negative. Negative,
yeah.
Negative, negative. It takes two parents and, you know, sometimes family members to help out in certain circumstances. Does not take a village, i.e. a school. Gosh, just so many other things. It doesn't take that. It doesn't take the government to raise your child. And this is another thing where we have to fault ourselves, because we've given the schools, the indoctrination centers, so much power over our children. I remember when during the pandemic, and several people told me, "Yeah, Eva, you know, we have to do this school from Zoom." And I'm going, "Well, what the heck is Zoom?" And they're going, "Yeah, you have computers, and they're supplying the computers." Okay, so Lord knows what kind of things that they implanted in those computers.
Oh, my gosh,
cameras.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Only that. Heck, you know, I know that there's a camera on my TV, what is this thing? One of my friends used to call it a porn box on my computer, you know, but I have the camera covered. And but they had, you know, the computers that the schools, wink, supplied to them. And they didn't want any of the adults, parents, grandparents, etc., to be in the same room as them during Zoom school.
Right.
Now, to me, when I heard that, I'm like, oh my gosh, call me, let me know when their school is in session, and I'm coming over and I'm videotaping this stuff.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that, Eva. Ooh-wee.
You know,
all those kids that didn't have a computer that all of a sudden had one. Oh my gosh, they're probably listening on their wildest dreams.
Oh my goodness. My goodness gracious. And you have to remember too, is that those computers that they supplied did have cameras in them. And these kids, you know, they're just getting out of bed because it's like basically summer vacation. They're thinking that it's summer vacation.
Yep.
You know, so they're in their jammies, and some of them, you know, just having little tank tops on, and boys probably are shirtless and stuff like that.
Oh my
gosh.
I know my
like,
kid was.
Yeah, you don't think that they were like, there were like pedophiles watching your kids during these Zoom classes?
Yep.
It's
Google. Google Classroom, so it's not like they use anything proprietary. It was, you know, wide open source. Wow.
Of course it was. Again, I want to shout out the phone number. If there's anybody listening to this show and would like to participate, we have approximately a half hour left of the show. The phone number is 319-527-6092. Again, 319-527-6092. Please press 1. That will indicate to me that you would like to chime in. Just even to say,
hello. And that would be totally, completely groovy. But
did they suggest a Christmas song?
Did you want me to play another Christmas song?
I would love it if you did. You got the great ones, and I would love it.
Okay, let me see what is in the studio. I was just informed by Sophia that she would like to take a quiz. So, this is, oh my goodness gracious, I'm trying to find a song that is a little bit long. go ahead, Sophia.
You brought up a very scary point, and I think that I don't know if you've mentioned it in your social networks, but it's never too late to put it out there, because there's not enough internet safety that you could put in. Like, everyone's worried about Big Brother looking at us outside, but these kids are still using the computer. Like, that is just the wave of the future. And who knows if that is, you know, I would be inclined to think that it does. Like, it is something where they get these computers and they get to download all the information of all of these kids' activity every, you know, time the school year is over. What do they do with that data? Like, the web browsing, the different websites that they go to. Like, I used to complain that they needed to make it a little bit more strict so that my kid couldn't browse the internet. And that's probably something that they wanted. They wanted to see what they interested in so that they could mosey on somewhere along the line and have a little pop-up chat window that says, hey, oh
well,
my God.
That's what they have. They have those honeypots. And, the government puts them on, and they'll go into, I don't even know if a chat room still exists. I'm presuming that it does. And they go into chat rooms and, pose as a teenager and lure these kids into giving away all the information. There are parental controls. I do know some people that allow their younger teenagers, like younger let's say 14 years old, they allow them to peruse TikTok. And TikTok is the, I would say, one of the biggest spying tools that China, however Donald Trump would say it.
Remember, Trump wanted to get rid of it too, but they were like,
exactly.
Oh no.
And it spies on us. It spies on the kids. And the only time I've ever seen anything on TikTok is if somebody shares it. I will never, ever have a TikTok account. And,
no, I love Libs of TikTok. That's like really hooky.
Well,
but
they're watching TikTok for you.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And I do subscribe to Libs of TikTok myself.
Right.
But it's very, very informative.
Right.
And you have to be very, very careful, but these 14-year-olds that have TikTok, and it's like, why do you let your kid subscribe to TikTok? Well, they're 14 years old, Eva, and it's like, who is the parent?
Mm. Who's the parent? Absolutely.
Who is the parent? Well, it's they have their own cell phone. Again, who is the parent? Who is paying for that cell phone monthly?
Yep.
Well, I am. Then you should be in control of what your kid is
watching.
Absolutely,
I agree.
What they download.
100%. Yep.
And it doesn't matter if you're paying that friggin' cell phone bill. and your kid's 25, and you don't want them to watch TikTok, then don't pay the bill.
Yep, you're a woman of my heart. I'm glad you said that. I feel less guilty.
Let them fend for themselves.
Yes.
If they're adult enough to make that decision, then they're adult enough to pay that bill.
That's right. I agree.
And, you know, tough love.
Love. That's right. That is so right. I had to drop that hammer not too long ago, and it's one of those things where I was like, but it's even sad because they can't even really leave. It's not that affordable when they're, you know, they're so young. It's like, you know, they leave and go to college, but then, you know, my kids, you know, it's just a matter of, not to say that they're not fitting in, but, you know, it is like earlier in the show, you said that things, it's like we're on a Truman Show. So they,
right.
So it's like they're in their own reality, moving around in these different bubbles that they get into, and they have no interest to bring any of that bubble home. They just
right.
stay in their space. And it's one of those things where I don't have too much to say, you know, with regard to it, but it is definitely one of those things that if, you know, if the lights are on and I, you know, the lights are here, the lights are, you know, I'm paying for the lights, you know, if you want to say, well, I have a job, I'm like, that's great. Keep some of that money. But then at the end of the day, I want them to have some kind of financial, you know, responsibility and obligation. They don't know that the money goes into an account to save for their, you know, down payment.
Well, they know,
but
they know now.
Where they have to say, oh, my goodness. You know what? They don't listen. They're so funny. Like, I tell them not to because this is my reality. And when I leave, well, they know me. Like, they know me. But it's like the thing where I'm like, no, you know, they'll just watch it or listen, but don't let me know. Like, they come back and they're like, Mom, you sound so sublime. And I'm like, no, I can't listen to it myself. Nope. But I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Like, that's my own rule of, you know, the we and the thee.
You know, there's just so many things that are so harmful that are out there, and adults, you have to be very, very aware of it too. Like, I used to follow this family on the YouTube, and I noticed that, well, this guy, he was single, and then he married this chick who had a kid, and they're allegedly Christians and so on. And you have him dancing and showing the devil's horns on a continual basis on these videos. And it's like, so you're Christian and you profess to be, you know, well, you profess to be a Christian, but you are constantly flipping, you know, the devil's horns on all your videos, and
yeah.
You in turn are admiring, you know, Satan and stuff when you do that. So I quickly unfollowed them, and
right.
People just don't realize that symbolism has a lot to do with our everyday lives, and
yeah.
You had Obama that did it. You had George Jr. doing it, George Bush
yes,
Jr.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So many of them. I believe that there's even one of Barbara Bush, who does happen to be the bastard child of Aleister Crowley. Just a little FYI. So if you're ever on Cash Cab and you need a mobile shout out,
use me as your mobile use me as your mobile shout out. You know, it is crazy that how Satan just wolves his way and to everyday lives.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. Yep. Everywhere. You even have corporations, corporate stores, you know, Target promoting you know, the tuck clothes for the LGBTWXYZ group.
Yeah.
And gosh, I mean, I believe that the percentage of the LGBTWXYZ community is like less than 1%, and you are catering to these people that have mental issues. You have Dylan Mulvaney.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness crazy. Oh, it's day one of being a girl.
Yeah.
and I just got my period. And, you know, ladies, why aren't you up in arms over it? Why aren't you women who are leads in the women's movement?
Absolutely.
Why aren't you pitching a fit? Why aren't you pitching a fit that men are playing women's sports because they are inferior to other men and they
exactly.
can't win any kind of a medal? Where are you, women? You know, you profess. Go ahead.
No, well, I agree. Like, it's one of those things where it's funny that you should bring it up because as a woman of color, I don't like to call it that, but, you know, just in case people didn't know, as a woman of color, that was something that really pisses me off because one thing that black people can quickly say is cultural appropriation. The
oh
minute somebody wants to pull a Bo Derek, it's like, no, braids belong to us. This belongs to us. But then you turn around and you look at a black man that's, you know, fully on, what is it, Orange is the New Black? And you're like, yeah, you know, that we might not want that to happen. And all of a sudden, you're not really a part of the equation anymore. Like, it's never, nothing is consistent when you look to be, you know, in high regard but look down on people. So ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, you got Joy Reid. Okay. She wears that. It's not even a blonde wig. It's a white wig.
No.
And it is freaking bright, blinding white wig. And, you know, she's up there on her little throne, and she's talking about culture appropriation. You got Jada Pinkett Smith, the same with her. And these are people that you look up to. Again, rules for thee. And you have, again, LGBTWXYZ. It's ma'am.
Yeah.
You know, at that GameStop. Okay.
Yep.
Dude, you are wearing a friggin' mini skirt. You are wearing hoop earrings. I can't do anything but laugh. Okay, talk about culture appropriation.
Yep. Full dude. I'll never forget that.
and people, you're not seeing this. It is, again, we reside in bizarro world. Do 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 do. Exactly. My goodness gracious. And I am so dumbfounded as to how dumbed down we of a society have become.
Yep. Yep.
And then my goodness gracious, still there you have
Bill Gates, Farmer Gates, medical expert, inventor. Okay, you have Bill Gates, who is one of the most evil people in the world. Could you have imagined his dad was a eugenicist?
Yes, he was. Okay. Yes, he was.
Could you have imagined, table talk at the dinner table?
Yes.
Hey, Billy.
The plan.
Billy, you know what I did today? What, Dad? What? Well, came up with a new vaccine. Yeah, we're going to eradicate those black people. Got that.
Can you imagine?
Got that. That lady on my side, she's the creator of Planned Parenthood, and she's going to help us. Her name is Margaret Sanger.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. People, do you not? And they were buddies. They were buddies. Bill Gates Sr.
Yep.
and Margaret Sanger. And Margaret Sanger, they strategically plant Planned Parenthood in predominantly black areas. And
yep.
I hate to be like stereotypical because heck, I've even had black neighbors. Oh no.
Yeah.
And my co-host, oh no, I didn't know that she was black until tonight when she mentioned it.
I made it.
Like I said earlier when you and I were talking, I said, Sophia, you cut open my arm, you cut open your arm.
Yes.
We're going to bleed the same color
yep.
blood. And it is, but so when I say predominantly black neighborhoods, but that's what it is. And
it is. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it isn't.
Do you see Don Fingers Lemon living in a predominantly black neighborhood? No.
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 Nope.
He lives in a neighborhood the same color as Joy Reid's wig. he's married to a white man.
Very, very pretty white man.
And he's on the boob tube telling Chris Fredo Cuomo that the biggest threat is the white man.
That
and
was
Chris
such a ridiculous
Cuomo,
thing.
Chris Cuomo, the lapdog that he is, speak more, brother, panting over and fawning over Don Lemon, he agrees with him.
Yeah.
He agrees with him. Yep. A white man. Oh, my gosh. Is it just me?
Must be the wrong white guys. There's plenty of variations of white guys, and I tell you, the ones that are sitting there agreeing and saying, oh, yeah, I'm with you, they might want to pull off the sheep's clothing once in a while, because those wolves will sit there and tell you, oh my gosh, I can't stand let me do more because, I'm privileged. I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't realize how, if you were truly privileged, you would walk on by. You would not be helping me, but if you're a racist and you're privileged, then you'd want to come through and give me some help.
I am so sick of this verbiage that they're constantly throwing around, like they came up with the verbiage themselves.
Right.
You know,
yep.
white supremacist. Okay, you know what? I am not a white supremacist, and if you want to get down to it, then there is black supremacists.
Those
there
are the ones
Asian
that I'm worried about. No, I'm worried
absolutely
about the black supremacists.
You know, I'll protect you, sister.
Thank you.
But it is so doggone scary. You know, I like white privilege. What the heck is white privilege? I really did not know what was meant by white privilege. And
they actually have a book about it, and I've read it, and it is bullshit. It is the worst steaming heap of bullshit I've ever read.
It is. It's like, okay, because I've never been privileged in my life, okay?
Mm.
Even being a female, I've had car doors open for me by a gentleman, but I'm not saying that is a privilege. That's out of respect that a man does that. And but other than that, no privilege here.
Yeah.
just because of the color of my skin, that makes me privileged. Just because I've worked hard, I was a wage slave half of my life, does that make me, privileged? Does it make me privileged that I have to pay for a roof over my head? Does it make me privileged that I have to pay bills? None of this makes sense to me.
Nothing
now,
at all.
Now, if you do want to throw around any of these sayings, such as white privilege, look at pedo quid pro Joe.
Yeah.
The one thing.
Thank you. Hold on.
The
Let me go ahead and give you one of these. Yay. Thank you.
Because he's the one that's denouncing white privilege.
Yep.
But yet he's white. He's never worked a day in his life. Oh wait, he was a lifeguard. Okay. He was a lifeguard, and he loves the little roaches to climb up on his lap and play with the hairs on his legs. And
that was the weirdest thing, but yeah.
And who would friggin' ass repeat that story? Who in their right mind would repeat that story?
I'm still trying to figure out what he says. I know about roaches. I was like, okay. Okay.
because he's speaking in front of black children. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is how I took it, was that he was referring to those black children as being roaches. And I tell you, it makes me angry to this day that he said that to any kind of a child.
I think that what he was implying, and I could probably clue you in, there was, like, especially in New York, I think the roaches vote. Like, they have a stake in the government in New York. They definitely, you know, they scatter, the politicians act like them. But one of the things that I found was that a lot of the apartment complexes in New York, now I have to wonder, you know, how the hell he knew, like whose house he was rolling through, but there was like, it was like a plague where the housing had a lot of roaches, and I think he might have, and that, you'll never hear me play devil's advocate for him, but I think when he appears to children, he tries to give them something that they can relate to. And I think he brought up roaches to try to make them relate to him, and that was even worse. Like, I just can't.
You know, You know, but I like roaches climbing up on my lap. No. I'm offended that he said that to children, period.
Yeah,
and then,
I agree.
Then his other friggin' remark was, they can be just as smart as white kids.
Oh,
and
my gosh, yeah, I remember that one.
What the heck, Joe Biden? Are you
Newt said that, you remember when Newt said that black people don't understand the value of a dollar, and that like sent the Democrats into a frenzy?
Oh my God. Do you not listen to what this kookala says, people? You have to.
Yeah.
And this isn't, you don't have to read between the lines when Joe Biden can't complete a sentence.
Yeah.
You know, it is doggone scary. And how about the jungle remark when he was a senator?
Yeah.
And then
the desegregation.
Buddying around with the head of the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. And what is wrong? And this guy allegedly, wink, with his stigmatism, he got 81 million votes. I call bullshit. Hashtag me three.
Absolutely. Yep.
And people, if you buy that, there's something seriously, seriously wrong, because this is a guy who campaigned from his basement.
Yep.
And when he was out in public, they had those hula hoops that had chairs in the middle of them. What?
Six people.
Maybe six people. Not even a dozen.
Not even.
And then you have Donald Trump, who goes out campaigning, and stadiums are overflowing. Yeah. Overflowing.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. I'm right with you, Sophia. But this is so crazy. I mean, I thought that Ron Paul drew crowds, and he did.
Yeah.
Ron Paul. The stadiums were overflowing, and people were in trees to look over the fences just to get a glimpse at Ron Paul.
Yeah.
And that is fact. They have that on video. They have that in still pictures. And Donald Trump draws the same type of crowds, if not more people.
Yep.
And Pedo quid pro Joe, the pedophile who takes showers with his 14-year-old daughter.
Yeah, sickening.
Gets 81 million votes. just some more food for thought. I'm feeding your brain tonight, people. It is so doggone scary that, my goodness gracious, every photo op, you would see Joe Biden. I mean, he made a beeline straight to those little girls, sometimes to the little boys too, but predominantly to the little girls.
To the little girls, yeah.
And, you know, he's actually like feeling they don't even have breath, but He's running his hand over their chest area.
Yeah.
And pulling them in closer and saying, I'd like to date you. You know, come back when you're
six something?
Instead of five.
Creep.
Huh?
Absolute creep.
If that is not creeperish, and this is out there. Anybody can view it. All at your fingertips. If you have a cell phone, you know, go on there. Creepy Joe videos. It'll pop up.
And they know, though. They know. They know because when he wasn't running, they knew.
They have to. They had to have known. Then you got his creeper. I mean, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You got his creeper son. I usually call him Elmer Biden. Hunter, Elmer Fudd, so you have him, and he is as nasty as they come. There's a video of, or still pictures of him snorting cocaine off of Malia Obama's butt, naked butt.
Oh, gross.
Oh, yeah. There's pictures of him with little children, little girls, like 5 years old, in like G-strings, and oh my gosh, it's like, and these people are roaming free. Now, if Sophia or I had child porn on our computers, do you think that we would be living the lavish lifestyle of Hunter Biden?
You know, jail. Wow.
Because you know that's not going to happen. You think that if Sophia or I were in the military and we got kicked out for doing cane, do you not think that there would be a court martial?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter Biden got away with it.
Yeah.
And it's just pure insanity. And yet, Hunter Biden is the smartest man Joe Biden's ever known.
You know? Oh, gosh. Really small circle. They keep it in the family. Man,
we have 90 seconds left of the show, so we're gonna wrap it up.
Thank you for having
Sophia,
me.
Sophia, thank you for hosting with me, and we'll be back next week with another show on our reality radio. Tomorrow we are introducing a new show to the network. And so I just want to make this quick. Be kind, humans. Have a beautiful, blessed tomorrow. Sophia, you want to say good night?
Good night, everyone. You know, I'd love you. Thank you so much. God has been in our presence, and we hope that we gave you a good presence.
Night, everybody.